will call the meeting to order. This is Representative Jean Pappy. I'm the chair of the House Ag and Food Finance and Policy Division, and this meeting is to be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01, which is posted online. And I know that we do have a quorum based on the number of members' phones that are connected, and I believe everyone who is wanting to be a participant as well is also on the line now, so we will probably hear from some other people other than members throughout the meeting. But the first thing we have on our agenda is the approval of minutes. So Representative Brand, would you like to move adoption?
Good morning, Madam Chair. I would like to move adoption of the minutes from the April 30th, 2020 meeting.
Thank you. The minutes from the April 30th, 2020 meeting are, that motion has been made. The minutes were posted online and also sent to you by Mr. Cosby. So are there any comments or questions? I don't see anyone jumping in on that, so everyone can unmute your phones. I'm just going to ask for a voice vote. And so all those in favor, say aye.
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 And those opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion prevails, and the minutes for April 30th are approved. We do have two bills on the agenda today. And the first one is going to be the House File 4490, the Supplemental Ag Finance Bill. And then we're also going to consider House File 4599, Representative Lippert has the Farmer Lender Mediation Bill. And what I'm, just as a reminder, we did have the DE before us for House File 4490. And again, everything should be, was posted on the division website, but also should be available to you. You should have received it, including the DE1 amendment. We have an A2 amendment to the DE1, and then the spreadsheet that reflects that DE1 with the amendment by A2. And also, Mr. Sullivan put together an informal kind of mock-up or engrossment, which incorporates the A2 amendment into the DE. So you can kind of see it all together, and you don't have to go line by line to try to figure out how to look at that. We also have a link to Minnesota Farmers Union has a letter, and that should all have been either sent to you or would have been on the division website. So what we're going to do, I'm going to move House File 4490 to get the bill before the committee, and I will move House File 4490 DE1 amendment to get it before us. So we have the DE1 amendment, and then, so I just want to describe this a little bit. We, when we gathered last week, the DE1 was the House proposal for what a bill, a finance bill could look like. And the Senate also did, they met on Thursday and also did a an amendment DE for their proposals, that, and they were close, but they were different. So what we did over the weekend, Sunday night, I had a conversation with Senator Westrum to move toward a common bill so that as we were moving forward, we'd be able to do that. And so what Mr. Sullivan then did, based on our conversation, we came up with agreed-upon numbers for what we're seeking, and we're still working on some of the language. It's probably 90 to 95% there, but we still have a couple of things that we're doing that we'll need to make some changes for. So today this will be a very close to final draft of what we want to move forward. But both Representative Hamilton and I serve on Ways and Means, and we anticipate that there may be an additional amendment in Ways and Means to get the bill to be the same bill between the House and Senate version. So if anyone has any questions about that, we can certainly talk about that. But right now, I would like to move the A2 amendment to the DE1 amendment. And there are just a couple of things I need to incorporate in that was done because we had discussions yesterday as well. The money we had was always the same amount and in the same categories for the most part, but we did make a bit of a change, and I'm just going to defer to Mr. Sullivan to describe what that change is, what we want to incorporate. Am I still on?
Oh, hello, Madam Chair.
Yes, this is Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, this is Colby Sullivan with the House Research Department. The changes that the Chair wishes to incorporate into the A2 effectively reduce the additional funding for the Department of Agriculture's Rural Mental Health Program from $50,000 to $40,000 of new money and make a corresponding increase of $10,000 to the supplemental funding for the Farm Advocates Program. And that would go from $50,000 to $60,000 of new money. So in order to accomplish those changes in the A2 amendment, it's necessary in the A2 on page 1, after line 2, insert the following two commands. First one is page 1, line 8, delete $4,046,000 and insert $4,036,000. And page 2, line 27, delete $100,000 and insert $90,000. So that completes the reduction to the Department of Agriculture's rural mental health funding from 50 to 40. And then there are two more changes to make the corresponding increase to Farm Advocates. And that's on the A2 amendment, page 1, line 18, delete $7,558,000 and insert $7,568,000. And then on line 19 of the A2 amendment, delete $317,000 and insert $318,000. And that's the end of the changes that the Chair wishes to incorporate into the A2 amendment.
Excuse me, Mr. Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Yeah, Representative Cleburne.
Thank you very much. Did you say on line 1.18, it's insert $7,568,000? Because I am reading 558.
Madam Chair and Representative Cleburne, that's right. On
yes, Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and Representative Cleburne, that's correct. On page 1 of the A2 amendment on line 18. Currently it reads page 8, line 4, delete $7,533,000 and insert $7,558,000. So the Chair's incorporation on line 18 would delete $7,558,000 and insert in its place $7,558,000.
Thank you.
Does that make sense, Representative Cleburne?
It does. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Poston?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you go back through the numbers on line 1.19, please? They don't seem to match what Mr. Sullivan just said either.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Sullivan.
And members of the committee, the change is on line 1.19. Currently in the A2 amendment, that line reads, page 8, line 29, delete $292,000 and insert $317,000. And the Chair's change would delete $317,000 and insert $318,000 on that line.
Thank you.
Thank you. So what we've got commonly before us, if you're operating under electronic, like with computers and iPads and other things, we have originally the DE amendment, and then this is the A2 to the DE amendment, and then there is the unofficial engrossment that Mr. Sullivan also did. So, but this is, so we're incorporating this change, which is the 60,000 to farm advocates, the 40,000, it had been 50-50, so we're just making this change. And that was an acceptable change to Senator Westrum for us to do that. So that was the last adjustment we made on the financial side of things. So is there any other question to that incorporation? And I don't see any questions. So I'm going to ask Mr. Sullivan if you would just describe the differences now, how this amendment will be adjusted, put onto the DE, and what that will look like and what those changes are. Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, now with the changes to the A2 amendment, the A2 will do several things to the DE1 amendment. It will make, the A2 if adopted, will make a reduction in the second year to the appropriation for the agreed, the agricultural growth, research, education, and technology transfer program that's administered by the Department of Agriculture, and the money's primarily passed through to the University of Minnesota. The A2 would reduce funding for that program in the second year, fiscal year 21, by $400,000. So that's the changes that you see on or the lines on page on the A2 amendment, lines 1.3 to 1.5, that's the $400,000 reduction in the second year to the agreed program. And then the language on lines 1.6 to 1.7 specify that that $400,000 reduction would come from the $1 million allocation for avian influenza research in the second year. Lines 1.8 to 1.9 of the A2 specify that this $400,000 reduction to the agreed program is one time. So the base for that program would spring back up to $9.3 million for fiscal years 22 and 23. And moving on to line 1.10, this is, sorry, I'm getting text at the same time. This is, the increase to the Agri program of $200,000 in the first year. So the following changes, the following lines in the A2 have to do with the Agri program, lines 1.10 through 1.15. The DE1 had an extra $150,000 for Agri in the second year, fiscal year 21. What this language on the following lines do is it says that there's actually $200,000 of additional money for Agri, but it's in the first year or fiscal year 20. And then lines 1.13 to 1.14 also specify that in fiscal year 21, the Department of Agriculture for the Agri Value Added Grant Program is to give additional priority to meat and poultry processors. So as part of that competitive grant application process for value added grants, the department would give additional priority to meat and poultry processors in fiscal year 21. And moving down to lines 1.18, 1.19, this is the change to money for the Farm Advocates Program. And this has been amended now, line 1.19 and 1.18 were both amended because there's an additional $10,000 now that goes to the Farm Advocates Program. So the changes to the DE in order to capture that increase are on 1.18 to 1.19 as amended. And then on the bottom of page 1, line 21, this is a change to the funding in the DE amendment for farm safety grants and outreach. The total appropriation for that activity on line 1.21 is increased from $100,000 to $125,000. And then page 2 specifies how that total $125,000 is to be allocated. Lines 2.2 to 2.4 specify that of that amount, $75,000 would be for grain storage facility safety grants. So None of the money could be used for the rollover protection safety program, the ROPS program. $75,000 would have to be for grain storage facility safety grants. And then the remaining $50,000 would be for outreach, safety, farm safety outreach, and potentially awarding grants under paragraph B. This paragraph B is new. It's on lines 2.7 to 2.17. And this is authorizing the department to award grants to Minnesota State or the University of Minnesota to design digital applications that would allow remote shutoff of grain storage facilities, augers, and other potentially dangerous equipment. Then on moving down on page 2 to starting at line 18, this is new language that would be inserted into the bill, and it provides $175,000 in fiscal year 20 to the Department of Agriculture to provide grants to farmers who have been approved for farm debt restructuring loans through the USDA or for a loan program through the Rural Finance Authority. The language goes on to specify what an eligible farmer is, and that's in part a farmer whose net worth is less than $800,000 in 2020 and who is either currently in farmer lender mediation or has received a mediation notice from their creditor as a prerequisite to beginning foreclosure and offering the option for the farmer to enter into mediation. That language for the loan origination grant program continues through 3.12. And then on 3.13 starts another new appropriation that would be inserted into the bill. This is $125,000 in fiscal year 20 for grants to grocery stores and other retail food handlers licensed by the Department of Agriculture as they deal with the realities of COVID-19. The language specifies what the money is for and how it is to be used. On lines 3.25 to 3.28, you see the grants are $500 per store, and a store with multiple locations could receive no more than $2,000 in grants total. That's on line 3.27. And then the remainder of the amendment, paragraph C, starting on 3.29, this directs the Department of Management and Budget to determine whether these grants to grocery stores and other food handlers are an eligible use of money the state received through the Federal CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And if the commissioner determines that, yes, these grants are eligible, the money shall come from that federal funding. And if it's not an eligible use of that money, then the general fund appropriation on line 3.14 would pay for the grant. That, Madam Chair and members, is what the A2 amendment would do.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. All right, so we have the A2 before us, and I'm going to move that the A2 amendment be approved to the DE1 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Any opposed, say nay. All right. Hearing none, that motion is approved and that amendment is adopted. So the DE1 as amended is now before us. So now we'll have discussion on that. And again, I'm just going to say a couple of things. One is Speaker Horban said that I was able to work on a finance bill and to get an agreement with the Senate, and if we were to do that, and also certainly as we move it through the process here, hopefully we have a bill that's agreeable between the House and the Senate, both parties and both sides, and we can move that forward. And if we do that, then leadership will determine if we can receive the full ask that we have, which is, just to clarify, we were kind of shooting for $1 million general fund, and that's what we initially we're working on. And then we, the Senate decided to capture back some money from the Agreed Fund. And I'm going to say that Representative Hamilton and I early on had a discussion about that. And I had a discussion with Senator Westrom about that. And so Senator Westrom, they took some money from Agreed. And I guess the $400,000, initially they had $300,000. When we were talking, we increased that to $400,000. And just to clarify that, we still give a significant amount of dollars to Agreed. And this money would be what would have been used for this coming year for dollars for grants, smaller scale kind of research grants that would be done for avian flu. And I want to say that we know that avian flu can come back again and that is not completely solved. So it's definitely something we don't want to disregard. We want to make sure that we understand that that's a disease for our poultry farmers and that that's an important piece of what we did when Representative Hamilton carried through the Agreed funding. But this immediate need right now seems to supersede what is a very potential threat, but potential. So if we can take $400,000 to deal with some immediate need, that would be, that's our preference. So that's, so we have $1 million general fund and we've taken $400,000 from Agreed. So that gave us the money to be able to then look at how will we allocate those dollars that we were working with. And that's what this, the A3 amendment does, is to try to allocate those dollars, or I guess the A2 amendment is to allocate those dollars in a way that we found acceptable between the House and the Senate. And so that's why we have that now before us. And so I'm just going to open it up for discussion.
Madam Chair.
And yes, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, I would just like to concur that you and I have been talking about this, and I appreciate the conversations that you're having with the Senate as well. And my commitment to my colleagues on the GOP side, as you mentioned before, if there's any changes, I'll make sure that everybody's informed on those prior to going into Ways and Means and on our side of the aisle. So, again, thank you for your work on this, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Yes, Representative Eklund.
No, this is Miller. I mostly just wanted to tell you that, sorry, I'm late, but I am here now.
Okay.
But that's all I wanted to let you know.
Okay,
I did listen to your explanation of the amendment, and it sounds good, so I appreciate the work on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You know, the one thing about an Uber conference call is I don't know, maybe it's I just don't have a fourth screen to be able to look to see who's speaking, but so I apologize if I've gotten the wrong person. But, yes, yeah, so thank you. I think, yes, Representative Hamilton, back to your point, there's a couple of areas where we think that there might be some language change necessary. One is on the loan origination fee, because right now we're saying that that is really at 100% kind of and that might be something that we would, the Senate, when we talked to them, they mentioned 35% of the fee would be covered, but that wasn't in their language. And what we did when we created the A2 was to take language from their bill. So I think there's still work to be done there. So that would open it up to more farmers to be eligible for that. And the new thing for people is the Retail Food Handler Safety, and that's a bill that Senator Weber has in the Senate and I have in the House. That's probably been introduced. I didn't check yesterday if it was in the list of what was introduced, but we do have Jamie Fuel from the grocers on the line if people have questions about that. So this was something that came from the grocers, Minnesota grocers, because they're finding, especially some of the smaller grocers may not have access to PPE equipment, masks, or plexiglass or different things. So this allows them to have some dollars to be able to set up their, you know, their counters and their the counter space and the workers a little bit differently. So if people have questions, Jamie's on the line and can answer those.
Madam Chair,
have questions. Yes, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Chair Poppe.
And then I have a couple of other questions, too.
Just a question on, I guess, the priorities. We're not talking about big dollar amounts, but the reduction in mental health money and the increase in farm advocates. To me, you know, the mental health and suicide prevention would be on a higher level than advocates. Just trying to understand the reasoning behind the switch there in priority and funding.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I'll address that. The farm advocates, I know that the Senate was at 100,000 and we were at 50, and so they wanted to have a little bit more available for that. And on the, you're right, about suicide prevention, we have money in our finance bill last year to be able to support that and continue on with funding for webinars and other things to be able to do outreach and research. So it was seen as being maybe an adjustable amount that it doesn't dramatically diminish because we do have money in previously, we had money in the bill to be able to support that. So it was, this is additional dollars. So if it's additional dollars of $40,000 to be able to kind of enhance and boost up what they've been doing. So that's why the $40,000 for them. And then the $60,000, a couple of things. One is that can increase the capacity for the farm advocates. They can increase, you know, it isn't likely to be that they're going to add a great number of farm advocates to the number of farm advocates currently serving the state, but there's been found to be maybe in the southwest part of the state a greater need. And so if they can ramp up services there and be able to potentially contract with somebody in southwestern Minnesota to be able to provide some additional support, that those dollars would be able to be used in order to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And then we have Representative Cleavorn with a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is about the $400,000 being moved from avian flu. Sometimes when I'm curious as to whether or not those are grants that are currently funded, or were these potential future grants that would have been issued in avian flu? That's the first question.
Thank you. Okay. So so that question is, so those are future grants.
Okay.
So those are, so they're, yes.
Okay, so they were future grants that would have been funded, not current work that is ongoing. I just want to be clear about that.
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. Then I don't have a, that's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Yes, so in, so some of our, this amendment deals with 2021 and retailers that deals with 2020, but so in the 2021, they have access to $1 million for small research grants that would be open up to people within the university to be able to access those dollars. So this would be capturing some of that money that would have gone, would have been open for kind of bid or whatever for the researchers to access. So we're taking the $400,000 from there.
I just wanted to make sure that we weren't, you know, setting a program really far back and losing potential momentum forward on avian flu. Do you know what I mean? So
that's true.
I'm just concerned about that. Thank you.
Yes, yes. And Representative Hansen has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe this is for the grocer's representative to just clarify that the appropriation would go to workers for PPE, and that because it's in FY20, it would be immediate use because it'd be in the current fiscal year. I could get a little clarification on that.
And I know Jamie is on the line, so Jamie, if you just introduce yourself and then be able to answer that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Jamie Poole with the Minnesota Grocers Association. I'm the president here. And to answer your question, so it would be for equipment or store signage, store markings for 6 feet of distancing. It would be for plexiglass shields, gloves, masks, hand sanitizer, and that would all be for the immediate. And it would be obviously for the workforce or, you know, customer-facing workforce.
Great, Madam Chair.
Madam
Chair, that's exactly the clarification I wanted to make sure that we were using these funds to help frontline workers. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is a request, and for those of us who have small-town grocers, who might not have as easy access to some additional funds, that's what this would be used for. Now we have somebody else who has a question. Somebody else wanted to jump in? No, I don't have anybody on the list, but if somebody wanted to? No, okay. All right, so we do have... Okay, so the DE1 has been amended with the A2. Any further discussion about the DE1 as amended? I don't hear any. Again, as things might be adjusted, including after today, we may know if there's even... You know, we are asking for $1 million in general fund. So if after today we find that there's not going to be $1 million available to this budget to be able to support what we've got, there may be adjustments and changes that will be necessary to be made. And I'll be working with Senator Westrom on that, but also with Representative Hamilton as the lead. And since he and I both are on Ways and Means, as a few others of our committee are as well, but Representative Hamilton and I should be able to then carry forward what we will need to be able to do in order to get this bill passed by the Ways and Means and onto the floor. So any further questions about the DE as amended? And I don't see anybody, so I'm going to say now this will be, we're going to do a roll call because this will be I think we can do a roll call on this one and then the roll call. I guess this is the DE. So we could do this by voice vote and then we can do the House File 4490 as a roll call. If people want to do that. If somebody says that you want to roll call on this, please let me know. Otherwise, this vote will take, which is the DE, we will do this by voice vote then. So if everybody takes their mute off, and I am going to call for this, so it's the DE amendment as amended to put on House File 4490. So All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. I don't hear any, so that motion approved, and the DE-1 amendment as amended has been added, House File 4490. So now we have House File 4490 as amended before us. So final question or comments before we take a roll call vote. So Representative Brand, I believe you had a comment.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you for all the hard work that I know that you and others have really done on this bill. The issues are great in agriculture right now. Of course, we're dealing with farm advocates and rural mental health, and we're talking about the letter mediations here a little bit. This is all in the backdrop of a global pandemic. We're really not sure if we're even going to have a target this year. But we do know that any resources that we have are going to be scrutinized and looked at and decided on what we're going to be able to spend. I really sincerely hope that our federal partners are also listening to our discussions today in the Senate and in Congress, because we really need to be looking to our federal partners for help as well. We can only do so much as a state, but rural mental health and farm advocates and all of the different things like mediation, difficulties with bankruptcies, all of these things are also important things, and they're not just happening in Minnesota, they're happening across the country. So thanks again for working with the Senate, working with everybody to get this bill the way it looks today. But I'm really hopeful that we can continue to count on our federal allies for the help we need to do the most good for people in Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Brand. Anyone else who wants to be recognized?
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton.
Yes, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just quickly like to say thank you to the staff who's done a wonderful job under these unprecedented times, keeping us organized and updated on everything that's taken place with the amendments, the scheduling of meetings, et cetera. You've done a fantastic job considering everything's going on. So thank you.
Thank you. We all appreciate our staff, and they have been doing exceptional work. So thanks for mentioning that. Anybody else?
Anderson here, Madam Chair.
All right.
Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I add my thanks, too, to all those involved in the entire legislature, really, for allowing us to continue our business. A couple of questions and a clarification. On the grocery store incentives, is there going to be some kind of how are we going to get the word out to these smaller local grocery stores in terms of making this program available to them? I had a question about that. And then on the priority of meat and poultry processing, I assume that's going to be to our small town locker plants, that type of thing. And just then a clarification on the loan origination grant program. I believe Mr. Sullivan said the USDA or RFA loan applications, but correct me if I'm wrong, but the RFA does not have a loan origination fee, so this would be just be for the USDA loans. Am I correct on that, Madam Chair?
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Yes, I believe you are correct that RFA doesn't have a loan origination fee. So I think it would be for additional loan dollars, but we have a couple of people on the line that I'm going to call a friend and have provide some answers. And so just to back up to your retail food handler, I think both Peter Chesseth and Jamie Poole would be able to maybe respond to that. So I'll start with Jamie. Did you have a response to that?
Thank you, Chair, Madam Chair, and Representative Anderson. Since the COVID crisis has started, we have been in constant contact with our member base, which is supports 1,300 locations across the state. They get a daily correspondence from us of all compliance and issues and best practices. If there are any opportunities for grants or funding to try and support them through this time, so we would continue on that. We also have conference calls twice a week at this point that they are all eligible for as well. We post it all on our website, and it is also public, so whether they're a member of ours or not, they can still get that support. We also are working with the Department of Ag on, I think we're on three or four different task force and working group, so we would work with them to support that as well. And we also work in conjunction with the rural grocers through the U of M, so we would put it out that way. So, and again, the way the dollars have been structured is really designed to give that support to those, to the smaller grocers that really need assistance. And I'll be honest, since this started in mid-March, you know, the evolution of what best practices look like and the things that you need to put in place, and we don't project this in trends or anything in changing anytime soon, continues to evolve. So I appreciate your consideration in this funding, because it is going to be really important, especially to those rural folks, and we will do everything in our power to ensure that that gets out there.
Thank you. And then I'm going to have Peter Chessis respond perhaps to that. And then I think I misspoke. Aggie Bonds for the loan origination fee from RFA do have an origination fee. But I'll let Mr. Chessis get online and be able to clarify some of that. Mr. Chessis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Peter Chessis, Director of Government Affairs at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. To the outreach, we will be working with our partners, such as the Grocers Association and others, to ensure that our grocers know of this opportunity. Obviously, we are in constant contact with our grocers as well, so we're pretty confident that we can spread that information out there effectively and pretty quickly. And then, Madam Chair, you are correct. There is only one loan program in the RFA that does have an origination fee. That's the Aggie Bond loan program. I don't believe we have a lot of participants in that particular program, but I do also have my colleague, Matt McDevitt, who is the supervisor of the RFA, on the line in case there are further questions about that.
Okay, thank you. And then I think there was one other question that Representative Anderson had, and now I'm not sure if I recall what that one was. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just a question to the Department of Ag priority to meat and poultry processors. Would that be our, again, small-town locker plant? So who are we going to target in that priority?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Chessis.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Anderson. Yes, this would be to the small town meat processors or the smaller processors in general. I think to date the largest company that has already received an agri value added grant is Lorenz Meat out of Cannon Falls, and they have approximately 100 employees, but majority of all the other recipients are even smaller than that. So this would definitely be targeted to those smaller processors moving forward.
Representative Anderson.
Well, that answers my question. Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chessis.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Anderson and Mr. Chessis. You know, using the word processors does bring to mind maybe larger processors, but it's kind of the smaller operations that we're trying to help. So let's see. Anybody else have comments or questions now before us? We have the House File 4490 as amended before us. Okay, I don't see any others. So, again, thank you, members, for your work all year long, all the last 2 years, and for the thoughtful discussion this year. This is, you know, it's good to kind of come to a culmination. We may have an adjustment to this bill as it moves forward, but at least we know people's intent and everyone's interest in trying to have have something in the ag finance realm this year. So I'm going to renew my motion that House Bill 4490, as amended, be recommended to pass. And I'm going to just add, and that staff may make any technical changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee. Anything beyond technical changes, however, will be done as amendments in Ways and Means. But I'm going to then recommend that it be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. So that is the motion, and if you will all unmute, it is a final action, so I'm going to do a roll call if it's appropriate. So Carl or Nancy will take the roll. Carl?
Chair Poppy?
I vote yes.
Poppy, aye. Vice Chair Brand?
Aye.
Brand, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Keel?
Aye.
Keel, aye. Representative Cleburne?
Aye.
Cleburne, aye. Representative Lippert?
Aye.
Lippert, aye. Representative Lewick? Representative Lewick. Representative Miller.
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Poston.
Poston, aye.
Poston, aye. Representative Tabke.
Tabke, aye.
Tabke, aye. Representative Vang.
Vang, aye.
Vang, aye. Representative Wozlowick.
Wozlowick, aye.
Wozlowick, aye. Representative Lewick. The result of the roll is 14 ayes, 0 nays.
Thank you, Mr. Cosby. So I'll just offer one more time. Is there Representative Lewick? We may have lost on the line, if you would like to
Madam Chair, I don't know what happened to my phone here, but it went off right when we started. But Lewick votes aye, if it's not too late.
Very good.
Lewick, aye.
Excellent. So now the final vote total is 15 votes
aye.
In favor. Yes. 15 ayes and 0 nays. Thank you. Glad that we were able to get you on. The motion prevails, and House File 4490, as amended, is off to Ways and Means. So that's good work, everyone. Thank you for that. And, the staff, we all are very fortunate to have good, strong staff. But we have another bill up, so we're going to take up next House File 4599. Representative Lippert has the Farmer-Lender Mediation Extension. This was a bill that was introduced on 428, and Senator Goggin has the Senate companion. So it is one we did extend initially a 60-day extension, but beyond that, that's what this bill is seeking to do. So, Representative Lippert, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that House File 4599 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Thank you, Representative Lippert. And you have, I'd like you to present your bill and introduce your witnesses. I know we have them on the line. And just as a reminder, as the witnesses begin speaking, if they would state their name and their position, if they have one, to be able to then provide testimony. So if you would go ahead, Representative Lippert.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We all know that farmers are facing economic pressures from every direction right now. Ethanol plants have shut down. Dairy farmers are being asked to dump milk or plan for dumping milk. Packing plants have shut down, too. Poultry producers and hog farmers are euthanizing livestock. And this is all on top of 5 years of very low prices for our farmers. House File 4599, Farmer Lender Mediation Extension, is one response to this unfolding crisis. We expect more farmers to be entering into mediation, and we want to give those farmers that are in mediation or are going to be in mediation more time. We want to provide some time for markets to stabilize and prices to recover, some time for crops and livestock to mature. We want to provide some time for federal assistance to be provided and financial positions because of that to be clarified. And we want to provide time for farmers to avoid forced sale of land, crops, livestock, or other assets into depressed markets. Forced sale of assets now or in the next few months will not be a good solution for anyone. And the mediation process has the best results when it's face-to-face. Since face-to-face meetings are, difficult now and many farmers lack access to high-speed broadband, more time is needed to make other arrangements and for safety processes to be put in place. So this bill will extend farmer lender mediation until December 1st of 2020 or for 150 days after the filing of a mediation request, whichever is later, and it applies to farmers who are in mediation now. And it applies to farmers who file between now and August 31st as well. So Mary Nell Priestler, who leads Extension's Farmer Lender Mediation Program, is on the line to share her perspective. And after her, we have some farmers with us to share their stories as well. But I'll turn it over to Ms. Priestler at this time.
Okay, Mrs. Priestler, if you will go ahead and just introduce yourself and then begin your testimony.
My name is Mary Nell Priestler. I'm the Program Director for Farmer Lender Mediation. Madam Chair, Representative Poppy, and members of the committee, I'd like to give a very brief background of the Farmer Lender Mediation Program. The Farmer Lender Mediation Program is operated by the University of Minnesota Extension with funds from USDA and matching funds from the state of Minnesota legislation and the University of Minnesota. The program continues to be operated with a lean budget and an effective staff. On March 22, 1986, Article 1 of the Minnesota 1986 Omnibus Farm Bill took effect. This law, the Farmer Lender Mediation Act, codified as Minnesota Statutes 583.2 to 583.32, instituted mediation of delinquent agricultural debts. The Act provides for mediation between creditors and farm debtors of credit issues, repayment of delinquent loans, alternatives to farm foreclosure, and other collection remedies. It recognizes mediation as an alternative to the adversarial process often involved and debt collection proceedings. The Act was amended by the legislature and extended to June 30, 2022. This state mandate affects the public policy, social, legal, and economic dimensions of conflicts in agricultural as well as family and community issues. The Farmer Lender Mediation Program uses neutral mediators to help farmers and lenders work out solutions for managing agricultural debt. Minnesota is a leader in the nation with a successful program that is used as an example to other states to follow. The program has proven to be an economic asset to individuals, businesses, and communities affected by loans and debts that are mediated. What will an extension of timeline mean? There are many unanswered questions. What is the government program, federal and state, what are they going to do with agriculture? What are the payments going to be? when will the payments be in hand? The extension is important because of the unknown. For banks and farms and the entities who provide services to them, everyone is in this together. This uncertainty can be mitigated with a longer mediation timeline. As animals are being euthanized, possibly milk dumped, and produce plowed under, potentially farmers are not going to be able to pay their bills. If farms can be foreclosed on, all security values will drop, and the banks will be in a negative collateral position, which is worthless to everyone. Not only would families lose their farms, but we would lose Main Street and potentially the banks. Time is needed by all industries. I had a case last week where one of the options was to refinance with another lender. According to the farmer, the other lender said he wouldn't even be able to look at an application for another month or two. He is so far behind. Farm Service Agency representatives said that the government payments are most likely coming, but when and how much is unknown. Everything is taking longer because all communication is done over the phone, not face-to-face. And there is so much uncertainty in agriculture. At this time, mediation is using conference calls to have mediation sessions. This is proving to work, but it takes time. Information is not readily available. Broadband technology is a problem. Lenders may be working from home and do not have the technology they need. There are areas in Minnesota where broadband technology is poor to not available. We have tried Zoom. It has worked. However, the process is intimidating to those who are not comfortable using it. There is difficulty exchanging information, continuous changes in cash flows, balance sheets, when looking for options and changes in operations. Access to information files, current information, loss of nonverbal communication. Anxiety is higher on the phone. Tempers seem to be shorter. There's more chance of a lack of respect. And we need to clarify statements continually. The University of Minnesota Extension is the administrator of the program. Currently, they are on a hold for face-to-face meetings until June 30th. When we go back to face-to-face sessions, there are situations to address. We use public places as meeting rooms, courthouses, libraries, churches, extension meeting rooms. Even with safe distancing, we are often in a small room. Meeting in a closed area with people with unknown health issues, asymptomatic COVID-19. Who is responsible to adhere to the COVID-19 protocol? As we look forward, we know that the current economic picture points to uncertainty, changes, and challenges. We may need more time to weigh options and make plans based on facts and the best information available. Therefore, it is important to extend the timeline of mediation. It enables informed decision-making. I'm in support of the extension of the timeline. Thank you for your time and continued support of the mediation program.
Thank you, Ms. Preisler. And then Representative Lippert, your next testifier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have Bonnie Haugen with us, who's a farmer from Canton, Minnesota.
All right. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Haugen. Please just state your name and then provide your testimony.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you. I am Bonnie Haugen from Canton, Minnesota, down in the southeast corner of Minnesota. And I want to thank you, Chair Poppe, and the rest of the Ag Committee One of the benefits of doing the testifying by phone is that I did not need to get myself fancied up and drive 2.5 hours up there, find my spot, and drive back. I can drive in the cities, but I much prefer my cow lanes to the traffic lanes in the in Minneapolis-St. Paul. I do want to say what I typically say when I testify and talk about the farming crisis or the farming situation or anywhere. Farming truly is everybody's bread, butter, and water. And I thank you as elected officials for your concern and your time and effort in any of these agriculture issues. So back to myself a little bit. I'm a grazing dairy farmer by Canton, Minnesota. In 1993, we bought these 230 acres that we farm on, and it was corn, soybeans, and I have some serious hills on this farm, though we're 50 miles from the Mississippi River. And we purchased shortbread heifers, and we've been a grazing dairy farm ever since. Now, a grazing dairy farm, in general, of course, there's always outliers for all kinds of situations, but in general, we are more profitable than a lot of the confinement dairies. We may not have as high a gross dollars, but we also, in general, have less expenses. Now, but even so, the last 5 years in particular has been very difficult with income sources. Market prices changing and making it more difficult. We have never needed to consider bankruptcy, but this COVID situation has changed things drastically in such a hurry. And for many of the reasons that previous people, both Todd and Mary Pfizer, stipulated and talked about, it is even more difficult now. We did our dairy operation net worth at the end of 2019, and then we did it again on April 20th. And our net worth on the dairy operation alone went down 60%, two-thirds, 66% actually. So we said, okay, we think, you know, depending on what's coming down the pike, we're not concerned. We need to go for bankruptcy right now, but we need to start taking a look at this. So if we do, we have some idea what's going on. For instance, we have 40 steers we carried through the winter with anticipation that the sale of them this time of the year is going to pay off operating loan that we're not able to pay off last year. At this point in time, we don't have any buyers that are interested in buying the steers. We are mostly seasonal on this farm, which means we have our dairy cows freshen in the spring. At this time of the year, any cow that for some reason doesn't fit our milking string or is too late for our seasonal purposes, we will sell. And there's nobody that wants to buy dairy cows now. Our calves, we will keep some for replacements, but we're milking, planning around 180 this year. So we may keep about 50 of the heifers. The rest of them we would all sell. That is typically a very helpful revenue stream for us at this time of the year. Nobody wants to buy a good, healthy little calf. Typically, when the grass starts growing, that's when people really want to start buying these calves to put them on grass. Nope, nobody wants to even buy them. Milk prices in March. The March check for February milk was $23 a hundredweight. April was $17 a hundredweight. The prediction for May milk we might get $12 a hundredweight. That's half. And in the beginning of January, we were looking forward to 2020. We thought this was going to be a great year. We were going to be able to get caught up on some of the past bills that had accumulated because of the tough years previously. We were excited about this. And now it's just a whole different story, understandably, but COVID-19 is certainly affecting things on this farm. For a farm to go through bankruptcy, and I'm speaking for a number of farmers who either don't have the time to deal with this, don't have the emotional bandwidth, or it's just not in their personal experience and wants to do any kind of testifying in any case. But oftentimes when you need the help the most is when you think it's the toughest to think through clearly. And if you add to that pressures of this COVID stuff, it's going to add to the stress for the bankers, families, the farmers, and on top of that, as was previously indicated, any kind of forced sale at this time makes it even more troubling because the values are deflated, and you get even less financial value to recoup and pay off any of those loans that you're forced to do. This bill is not asking for extra dollars. This bill is asking for time. So we can avoid bankers and farmers panicking and making poor decisions. Recently, our Minnesota Department of Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, in answering questions, said that about 800 people were in some stage of mediation right now. That's a lot of people. And let's make the assumption there's going to be more added to that. Let's hope that we can help work them through, at least most of them, for better decisions, both for themselves, the bankers, and the communities that everybody's living in. Farming is seasonal, crop planting, through till harvest, and now's not a good time to push and expect good decisions to be made and come to. So much better to give some time for researching options until the harvest is done. And then hopefully we got a better idea on the markets and values for any of these decisions. Again, this bill is asking for time. To save money, save frustrations, farms, people who are your constituents, and let me take a quick look at my notes here now. Certainly mediations are best in person. I'm glad that they can work, but also they do take time to work through these electronic versions. And I think I've covered the points that I jotted down. So I will once again remind you that thank you. And I believe that farming truly is everybody's bread, butter, and water, because what we do on our farms truly affects the foods, the waters for all of society, not just the people that happen to be walking and working with the ground and the soil that we think we own, depending on how much we own the bank or not. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I will now be quiet and am willing to listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haugen. And so next we've got Mr. John Jobot on the list. So,
hi.
Hello. Just introduce yourself, John, and then provide testimony.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm John Jovag, farm down by Austin, Minnesota. And I think, you know, some of the things that have been said right now are wonderful things to discuss and think about with all of this that's going on. And it kind of takes me back a little bit to in the past when if mediation does not or is not able to be worked out successfully or not allowed to play out as it should because of the COVID, because of these things and not having the time, people tend to make a decision that's not as good for everyone involved. And it reminds me of We had some neighbors, this was years ago, where they had about 100 head of cattle on feed. And those cattle were about 900 pounds, and they were forced at that time by the bank to sell those cattle to pay that bill at 900 pounds instead of waiting until they're 13 or 1,400 pounds, which is the absolute worst time to sell an animal. You make the least amount of money. Then, because of that decision, they were forced to sell those animals at a terrible time, and they ended up losing 120 acres because of all of that and not being able to make any money on the cattle, losing money on that, and setting them further behind. And that just doesn't work well for the banks. It doesn't work well for the farmers, and that's still affecting that farm family, which is our neighbor just right down the road, to this generation even now. And so that's the crucial aspect of mediation and making sure that you can have a good mediation, given time, given the opportunity for these markets to stabilize and understand where they're going to be. Waiting until December, we will understand a lot more of these effects of COVID-19 and how that really does impact the whole farm community. Right now, these markets are so upended and crazy that we just don't know what's going to play out. And if we start making decisions without knowing how things are going to play out, we end up making poor decisions. And that's my biggest fear, is if this stuff is pushed to move forward faster than it should, and we don't allow this time to let things kind of settle out and understand where these markets are going to be, what's going to happen. And even when you talk about most of these farmers, they've already planted their corn, or they're planting it right now, their beans, their crops. They won't harvest those till October and November. So they won't even know what they have until that time frame to talk through a valid, calm mediation process where everybody can kind of then understand where they're at. So I think giving time for these markets to stabilize and time for these crops to mature, time is what we need right now for this. Otherwise, we will end up in a situation where we make poor decisions that are not good for farmers nor good for banks, because people start to think in a panic mode or kind of rushing into things. And so this time is crucial. And I just really appreciate some of the other things that some of the other people have said, because just getting a little bit more time on all of this to iron it out is huge. So I don't know. I guess that's kind of the big thing I have to say.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Jovad. And next, we have another farmer on the line, Roxy Hakenite. Somehow close to the name. Roxy, yep, is on the line.
Yep, you're
all
doing
right.
Good.
Can you just introduce yourself?
I'm Roxy Hakenite.
Perfect. Go ahead.
I'm Roxy Hakenite. I farm down in southwestern Minnesota, Fulda, Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I am testifying today on behalf of my husband, Keith, and myself, on behalf of House File 4599, the bill to extend mediation through harvest to December 1st. We are farmers. We have farmed almost 50 years now in our little corner. It is our life and livelihood. We have two sons that grew up here on the farm, and they both live on farms also. They have sons, and they all just love it. In December, the bank called in our loan. Bad news for us. We are now in mediation, and because of COVID-19, have been unable to meet in person with our farm advocate, our mediator, or the bank in mediation since then. With the much-appreciated 60-day extension of mediation that you have provided to farm families, our legal deadline for mediation is set to end on about May 22nd. The bank wants us to sell some ground right now. The cattle prices and grain prices have taken an extreme drop since we started our mediation. We have visited with some people about buying some of our ground, but right now, money is tightening up. We have to figure our way through a capital gain issue if we do sell, and we still have to have a positive cash flow for the remaining debt that needs to be restructured. If we could have some help with the fees transitioning our loan, to an FSA guarantee, that would be good for us because it relieves the bank of 90% of the risk. We hope that program is available as we work through mediation. We have a lot of intense mental strain here. We need more than just counseling. We need the time through December 1st to work with our farm advocate, who is also overloaded with cases like we need to help guide us. We need the help to guide us to a path that my husband Keith and I have a home to live in and hold together at least part of our farm. This year is really bad for all farmers. Our mediation time runs out on May 22nd. We are asking you as legislators to act now. Give us a chance and give our Minnesota farmers, like us, the time needed to get through COVID-19. We are farmers and we love doing what we do. We know that it is important that you as legislators invest in the research necessary to get ahead of virus 19 and disease that can attack our livestock. COVID-19 has struck us. So please support us as farmers with time and financial resources. As the human component of the livestock industry, we want to stay here where we are. We need some help right now, not later, now. Farmers are special people. We have a heart and we care. Please value those of us who farm the land and raise the livestock for our nation's food security. And I also like to add that what the other people testifying is awesome. We need help and we need it right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hakimas. Nice. And I know that those are all the people that I had on the list to testify, but I want to just have people notice that Mr. Odie Jansen provided a letter in support of this bill, and Minnesota Farmers Union has a letter that is online for the last bill and this bill. So just be aware of those. And I think at this point, Representative Lippert, I don't think you have any more in-person testifiers, so I'm going to go to questions. And Representative Cleavorne has a question or comment.
Thank you, Chair Poppy. This is really just a comment. As many of my colleagues know, I am a professional mediator, and while I don't do farmer mediation, I would like to just echo the things that we've heard from our testifiers today. When an individual is able to go to mediation, it not only helps come up with creative solutions for each individual situation, because no two situations are ever the same, but it also recognizes the human dignity of each person as they're going through this very difficult process. So I would like to just say thank you to Representative Lippert for bringing this bill forward. I would really encourage my colleagues on the committee to say yes to this important piece of legislation. Face-to-face is critical. It's not something that can be done over the phone as effectively. And it is about recognizing that these are generational farms. They are their homes. They are a person's life work. So I just want to make sure that we keep that human dignity piece in front of this as we are also trying to solve a financial problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Cleavorne. Other questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
I have Representative Keel. Yes, Representative Keel.
Thank you. Thank you. I kind of lost you there for a minute. I checked back in. I would like to this conversation as a farmer. As you all know, in the House, there are very few ag farmers, occupational in the legislature, and I live in the northwest corner of Minnesota. As I speak right now, there are some farmers that have been able to put in a little bit of crop, a little bit, and they're training. What my son plans to do tomorrow, I'm sure, is not happening. There's water standing in my field. So unless God provides sun and wind, we're going to be quiet for a few more days. Now, we're not late like southern Minnesota because our growing season is shorter, but we can still put soybeans in well into May and sugar beets. But I would like to point out, we heard from Farmers from southeastern part of Minnesota, but these issues are blinding all of Minnesota. I'm hearing from my farmers who are raising cattle, hogs. I have less of that than some Minnesota, but and the crops that are being put in, and some are being put in. But it is not a good start to the farming year to be able to look forward to the year with hope that, you know, I'm hopeful that things will get better. But I do realize that this is going to be stressful till December and well in the future, because one bad year does not make up, usually not make it up in 1 year. As these farmers have testified, it's multiple problems for a long time. But Minnesota has a rich agricultural history and something that I feel we need to support and wish everyone the best in this year, and hopefully we'll come out on the right side of this. But thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Keel. Appreciate your perspective. Anybody else that wanted to be recognized?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to the testifiers. Ms. Haugen, I used to live in Canton, and if you go into Sarah's Cafe there any morning, you will see my wife's uncle sitting on the back table on the right-hand side as you walk in the door. So very familiar with the area. And I'm going back to her testimony, and it's one of the comments that we need to take note to. She said that net worth has fallen greater than 60%. And you think about that, with farm prices falling, little or no cash flow coming in, and net worth. And then you go in and ask a lender for a loan. It's no secret on why you have we're in the position that we're in, and to no fault of their own. And Madam Chair, you know, a lot of times I speak to the pork industry because that's where I guess I know the most. And you just take a look at what pork prices have done, just to put it a little bit in perspective. If you go off the USDA Livestock Poultry and Grain Market News, and the weighted average on carcass-based price currently is around $37. And just take that into consideration with a year ago, it was up over $80. You know, again, it's fallen because packing plants have closed and et cetera. And again, to no farmer's fault. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I appreciate all the testimony from the testifiers, and there is a need to do this. So I'd ask for people's support.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. And I don't see anybody else that is seeking recognition. I think we all do appreciate the testifiers today, the stories that they've told, the situations that they're all in. It weighs on all of us, so that I know it weighs on some people a bit more, and I appreciate that you took the time today to provide your testimony and provide your information. So we have this bill before us, and Representative Lippert, do you have some concluding comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I also want to thank the testifiers today for sharing their stories and for comments from the committee as well. We want to help farmers weather the storm, and it's important for farm families and our rural communities, and it's important for our food supply too. So I appreciate the opportunity for this bill to be heard and for support for this bill as well. So I will renew my motion that House File 4599 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Thank you, Representative Lippert. That motion is before us. And since this is final passage, we're going to do a roll call. We'll have Carl take the roll. Everyone can unmute their phones when the time comes for them to vote. So, Mr. Kazi, go ahead and begin the roll call.
Chair Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Vice Chair Brand?
Brand, aye.
Brand, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Keel?
Aye.
Keel, aye. Representative Cleavorn?
Aye.
Cleavorn, aye. Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Lippert, aye. Representative Lewick?
Lewick, aye.
Lewick, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Poston?
Poston, aye.
Poston, aye. Representative Tabke?
Tabke, aye.
Tabke, aye. Representative Vang?
Vang, aye.
Vang, aye. Representative Wadlowick?
Wadlowick, aye.
Wadlowick, aye. The result of the roll is 15 ayes, 0 nays.
Thank you. So with the vote being 15 to 0, the motion prevails on House File 4599 will be sent to the General Register. Thank you for that. That does complete our agenda. Thank you for your patience. This may be our last meeting of the year, but we don't know for sure because if there are other issues, and we do know we have issues in agriculture, so we may have some additional meetings either during regular session or in future special sessions. But if this is the last meeting, I do want to thank members, Vice Chair Brand, the GOP lead, Representative Hamilton, all of the members that for your contributions this the past 2 years. It's been a great honor to serve you as chair, so I appreciate that. Thank you also to our partisan and nonpartisan staff. For nonpartisan staff, Mr. Colby Sullivan, researcher, and Mr. Ken Savory, our fiscal analyst, tremendous people, tremendous job. We've got partisan staff, Harry Miracle and Bennett Smith, they do good work for us in our caucuses. And certainly Nancy Connolly is the CA and Carl Cosby as our CLA do tremendous work. And I appreciate that everybody has been doing what they need to in these really trying times and managing the technology and making sure that we are staying on top of things and beginning and concluding on time as well. So I appreciate that everybody's been engaged in this process. And thank you so much today. I think we had, we've got two good bills moving forward, and I would hope that we can get them across the finish line. One thing that we may be considering will be trying to either combine finance and policy and or this bill is going to the General Register. It's a standalone bill, but if it gets into either finance or policy or rolled into one, that would work too. So I appreciate that everybody's been engaged and involved, and I see nothing else before the committee. Thank you for your time, and enjoy your day. The meeting is adjourned.